as we go back to our theme verse of John chapter 14 and verse 12, which is our theme verse for 2013, we examine the second of the four essentials that are necessary to accomplishing the greater works in our lives personally, as well as the greater work in our church. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," there's the bold faith, "he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do," watch this, "because I go unto my Father." He said, not only will bold faith, believing on God, bring greater works in your life, but you are enabled to do the greater works because, Jesus said, I ascend unto my Father. Now, what is the significance of that? That very phrase, "because I go unto my Father," speaks of the significance of Christ's heavenly ascension. And because Christ has ascended into heaven, it is that very position in His life that gives us the ability to achieve greater works. I want you to think about it in two forms tonight. Number one, it is a position of power. I think I put these in your notes as a way of introduction, but Jesus ascending into heaven, where He is presently in this moment sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, is a position of power. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, who, speaking of Jesus Christ, is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. I'm glad to know tonight that no matter who's living in the White House, it is Jesus who is on the throne. Amen. I'm glad that He has all power in life. I'm thankful to know that no matter what's going on in my life, around my life, or in our world today, God is on the throne. He is sitting in a position of power. And so it's very important for us to know that we can achieve greater works. Why? Because Jesus did not stay dead. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad He died, but He didn't stay dead. He rose again, and by rising again on the third day, He sits on the right hand of the throne of God. And that very fact shows us that God Almighty has all divine, all sovereign power in this universe. It's a position of power. And that very position enables me to have greater works. Here's the second thing I want you to notice. The presence of power. All right, the position of power is the fact that Jesus is sitting right now on the right-hand throne of God. But then there's the presence of power. Christ's departure to the Father meant the entrance of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that conversation that Jesus had with His disciples in John chapter 14? And He said, "Listen, I'm fixing to go, and I'm going to be gone away." And the disciples said, "Oh, wait a minute, where are you going? We can't live without you. We can't minister without you. We've sacrificed everything. We've quit the fishing business. We've quit the doctrine business. I mean, we've given up everything to follow you. What do you mean you're leaving and you're going away?" Jesus said, "Don't worry, because when I go, I'm going to send you another comforter. He's the Holy Spirit of God." The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." I am thankful. If you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, you need to underline that phrase, "abide with you forever." When Jesus gives His Holy Spirit, He does not give it on loan to us. He's not saying, "Here's my Spirit, try it out. If things don't work it out, I'll bring it back." No, God says, "I'm going to give you my Spirit. He's going to live inside of you forever. He's going to abide for you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." You can't have Him unless you're saved. You can't have Him unless you're a believer. The world can't receive Him, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you are saved tonight, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He dwells there. He abides there. And so Jesus was saying, "Don't worry. Don't fret that I'm leaving. This is a part of my Father's plan. I'm going to ascend into heaven. I'm going to sit on the right hand of the throne of God, where I have all power, but no need to worry because I am going to send you my presence. And my presence is going to fill you and to indwell you, and it will be in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me say this. It is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that enables us with the divine power to achieve the greater works. We need bold faith, but we must have divine power because we cannot do it in and of ourselves. I think sometimes Baptists get a little fearful of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we've allowed different denominations over the year to cause us to, you know, kind of be silent about the Holy Spirit. You know what's wonderful about the Holy Spirit of God? Have you ever heard somebody say, I can't live the Christian life? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Well, listen, none of us can live the Christian life. But God has given you something that can live it through you. The Holy Spirit of God. And we not need to be fearful about it. We not need to be ashamed about His role in our lives. Why? Because it is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the power. I'm talking about the divine power of God to do the greater works. The greater works. And one of the most prominent verses to remind us of God's divine power in us is right here in Philippians 4:13. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know what the greater work that God wants to do in your life. I don't know what that is. Let me say to you that I am already seeing God do greater works among our church family over the last couple of weeks. I'm already seeing it. It's just been a blessing. And some of it has only been through causes that no one can explain except the divine working of God. But then the Lord has used some of you to honor the faith of others. I'm very thankful for what God is doing as far as greater works in our lives. But all of us have something God wants us to do. We could talk about the greater works that God wants us to do in our church. We can think about the growth of our church, and I'm so very humbled and grateful at the same time with how God is building Laurel Baptist Church. When we look at things like a line, I heard this morning that there was a line for the ladies trying to get in the ladies' restroom. And I want to say, ladies, I am so sorry about that. We're going to do whatever it takes so you don't have to wait in line to go to the bathroom, all right? If we need to, we'll stand some men outside of the men's restroom, and we'll let them just use the porta-john outside, and you can go in to the men's restroom. Now, we look at these on the surface, and we see them problems. But really, you know what? They're blessings. Because I remember a day where you didn't have to wait very long to get in the bathroom. I remember a day there were some lights that didn't even need to be turned on in the building because we weren't going to use it. But I'm thankful we're at a point in our ministry where we don't know what we're going to do. I think about our church. There's some greater works that God wants to do. How are we going to pay off this debt? How are we going to build another building? How are we going to fit everybody in? And there's a lot of things we're going to have to look at and transition and grow through in order to achieve that. But I wonder, not just in the greater works of our church, but you personally. I want you to think about this. What is it, what greater work in your life have you already convinced yourself that you can't do? What is it? What greater work have you already convinced yourself that you can't do? It could be anything. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe you've already convinced yourself that I can't lead someone to Christ. I don't know how to do that. I don't have the ability or the personality or know what to say. I can't lead someone to Christ. Maybe it's in the area of reading your Bible. And you think about people who read their Bible through the year. And I don't know if that's very much important to our spiritual life as it is just reading the Bible. But maybe you've already said, well, I don't know that I can read my Bible through the year. I can't be faithful to read God's Word. I can't give this large financial gift to God's work. I can't go on a mission trip. I can't be a missionary. Maybe that greater work is building in the sense of maybe it's beyond this wall. Maybe there's a young man or someone in our church that God's saying, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to go to Bible college, and you've already convinced yourself that you can't do it. Maybe there's a family or a single lady that God is saying, I want you to be a missionary and go on the mission field and do this work. And you've already convinced yourself there's just no way that I can do that greater work. It can't be done in my life. And then we think about the physical. Maybe you think, I can't give up this bad habit. And by the way, we all have bad habits. Whether it's a bad habit of bad driving, whether it's a bad habit of smoking or drinking or whatever the case may be, we always have bad habits. All of us do. And some of you have already convinced yourself that you can't give it up. That you just don't see how there's any way possible that you could quit doing it. Maybe you've convinced yourself that you can't reach this goal for your career and for your life. Or you can't lose weight. Isn't that something we always say sometimes? Obviously, the back of my pants is proof that I need to lose weight, all right? But if we're not careful, we'll just say, I can't do it. I can't lose weight. I can't switch to another diet. I can't overcome this health condition. I'm here to tell all of us tonight, no matter what it is in our lives, that we can do whatever it is that God wants us to do. But the reason we don't is because we talk ourselves out of it. Before we ever give God an opportunity to do something great, we've already convinced us and Him that it can't be done. We just can't do it. Now, I want us to think about this powerful verse of divine power. And what it does is it changes our lives when we truly believe it and apply it in our lives. Because while you're saying we can't, God is saying you can. And what we need to do is change our terminology from I can't do what God is asking me to do to I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And it's the divine power of God that enables you to go from I can't to I can. No matter what it is. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. It could be financial. It could be physical. No matter what it is you think you can't do, God says you can with the divine power of God. You can. So I want you to think about three things. Number one. Divine power changes your perspective. Divine power changes your perspective. And I want you to notice the first two words. And I want us to say them aloud together, but these are the only two words I want you to say. Are you ready? Here we go. I can. I think we can do better than that. All right, let's try this again. Ready? I can. I can. Not I can't. I can. A change of perspective. Now, let me say this before I go further. Make no mistake about it. God does use His people to accomplish His work. He does. And I don't know, and I've said it before. You know, you hear preachers sometimes, and again, I've said it. I'm guilty. We say that God doesn't need us. And it is true, He doesn't need us, but I'm so thankful that He wants us. I know He doesn't need me. But He does want me. And so sometimes we can preach so harsh about, oh, God doesn't need you. And God doesn't. He doesn't. I understand that. But can I say in a loving way that God wants us all? Because that's the way He chooses to do His work. Think about it from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Do you know that your life, who you are, is a portrait in God's gallery. Yes, you are. You're His masterpiece. You're His portrait of art that He displays. You are the workmanship of God Himself. You didn't come from a monkey. You're the work of God. Now there's some with you. We could debate that. But in general, we came from the work of God. We're not here today because these planets came together and all of a sudden this big bang occurred and oh, there's human life. No, we are the work of God. We're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. Now think about it. That very fact alone should cause us to believe that God has something greater for our life than what many of us think that He does. And He chooses us to fulfill His plan. You're not just another social security number. You're not just another face in the crowd. You are the workmanship of God. And God has designed you and created you for His purpose, to do His will. And so because of that, our perspective has to change about life. Knowing that I am God's work, not the work of my mom and dad, not the work of some monkey or whatever. I am the work of God. And so because I'm the work of God, and because God wants to use my life, I need to go from I can't to I can. You see, if we were the work of our own selves, then we could say, I can't all day long. But because you are a masterpiece of God, because you are a portrait in His gallery, because you are the workmanship of Christ, don't waste your time saying, I can't. Focus on the fact that through Him, you can. You can. Henry Ford, the messed up man who created the Fords. Henry Ford is the very reason why we have a vehicle, no matter what you drive. He's the reason we have one. And oh, I knew that would hit them. He's also the reason why you have a mechanical bill that you don't want to pay. But think about it like this. He said, success begins with I can. Failure begins with I can't. And you've already determined what it is God wants to do in your life by whether you say you can or you can't. It's amazing what you can do when you don't know that you can't. And we talked about this when we talked about Peter a couple weeks ago, about how we want to give him a hard time, such a hard time for taking his eyes off Jesus. I saw a preacher friend of mine put on his Twitter, he preached that today about Peter taking his eyes on Jesus. But let's just be honest, at least he got out of the boat. He was the only one bold enough to get out of the boat. At least he wasn't like the other 11 sitting inside the ship saying, we can't, we can't, we can't. He did because he thought, I can. He changed his perspective. It's amazing what can happen when we don't know that we can't. David didn't know that Goliath was too big. You and I know Goliath was too big. David didn't know that. Joshua didn't know that Jericho was too strong. Elijah didn't know that his enemies were too many. Peter didn't know that he couldn't walk on water. And I'm not talking about tonight the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of each one of us today. The divine power of God that causes us to go from I can't to I can. And when we come to fully understand that dwelling inside of each of us is the power that spoke this world into existence. I'm talking about the power that hung the moon and the stars in the sky. That power that spoke the world into existence. Then there is no situation beyond the perspective of I can. And so what it would do to help us tonight is to change the way we think. I can't go soul winning. You can go soul winning. I can't serve. You can serve. I can't go on a mission trip. You can go on a mission trip. I can't do full-time ministry. You can do full-time ministry. Now, I can't meet this financial need. You can meet that financial need. Now, I know you're going to accuse me of preaching a Joel Osteen message, but call it whatever you want to. God says through Him, you can. You can. You ought to be thankful I'm pumping you up a little bit tonight. You can. Should I say it like this? You can. That better? That helps some of you. I've got a book in the lobby called You Can. It's a sequel to Your Greater Life Now. Change your perspective. Because when you understand living within you as someone who can do anything, you'll no longer be doubting yourself, doubting God's work around us. It may not work out, but you can. You can. Number two, divine power not only changes our perspective, divine power changes our opportunity. Now, the first one was, I can. Don't you notice the next three words? Do all things. I want you to say those three together with me. Ready? Do all things. Now put all five of those words together, starting with I can. Ready? I can do all things. I can, my perspective. My opportunity is anything. Now think about this. Without Him, I am nothing. This is not a message to make you think you're something. It's to make you understand that He is something. Because remember, it's not my power. It's the divine power of God living within me. So, I have my perspective changed. Without Him, I am nothing. But with Him, I can do anything. You see, opportunities change in the life of a Christian when the divine power of God fills his life. He said, I've never had much opportunity. You have all the opportunity in this world because He lives within you. Well, I'd like to do this, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get the opportunity. You have unlimited opportunity. You listen to me. Unlimited opportunities. Now, I'm thankful this evening that God gives us the opportunity to do. Paul said, I can do. We ought to be thankful God gives us the opportunity to do. He said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you. There it is again. In you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Be thankful that God allows you to teach a Sunday school class. It's not your right, it's your privilege. God gives you an opportunity to do for Him. Be thankful God allows you to go knock on doors. Not your right, it's your privilege. Be thankful God's given you a voice to sing. I wish I had a voice to sing. Be thankful God has given you a voice to sing. Not your right, it's your privilege. God gives all of us the privilege to do, the opportunity to do. But He goes beyond that opportunity to allow us to do all things. I hope you're getting this tonight. Because God is saying with His divine power, I'm not only enabling you to do, I'm enabling you with the possibility of doing anything. Unlimited opportunities. The psalmist said in Psalm 145 and verse 3, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. That means you can't discover all of God's greatness. You can't fathom all of His ability. You can't even think in your mind for one moment of time all the opportunities that God has for us. My challenge to us as a church family tonight is don't make the mistake of limiting God's opportunities in your life. Pastor, can our church really do what you're talking about? With God in us, we can do whatever God wants us to do. Anything. Could that building, that new 1,000-seat auditorium that's going to sit out here, you think, Pastor, I'll be alive to see that one day? If God wants you to be, you'll be alive to see it. You think I'll remember a day here in the near future where my kids will be able to go to an academy on this very campus? If God wants it to be done, it'll be done. But here's what we so often do is we limit God's opportunities by saying, oh, that'll never be built, or that school will never be started, or these ministries will never be happening. I'm just going to have to wait in the ladies' bathroom line until Jesus comes. I just know that's how it's going to be. And with an attitude like that, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But when you know living with inside of you is the divine power of God. You go from I can't to I can. And when you get the right perspective, you begin to see God's true opportunities for your life. His true opportunities for our ministry. I'll never forget when God began calling me to preach It wasn't in a magical service, so to say. I didn't stand up at the end of the service with the Bible counselors and say, tonight was the night I answered a call to preach. It was just something God had been doing in my life and in my heart. And I remember thinking at times that I'd never be able to preach like my dad or pastor a church like my dad. And then to see the opportunities God gives you when you just yield to His will, it's unfathomable. When you begin to think maybe what God has in store for your family, for your career, for your children, for our church, we don't need to limit those opportunities. Understand that through Christ we can do all things, because not only can we do for Christ, we can do all things. All things. So maximize God's potential in your life. Maximize His power in your life. Yield and plug into that divine power of God that gives you the opportunity to do anything. Some people move around the country. I'm thankful we live in one of the fastest growing cities. Last time I checked, is we're number 2 as the second fastest growing city in America, right behind Austin, Texas. Raleigh, Durham is right behind us. I don't know why anybody would only live in Texas, but I'm thankful Charlotte is climbing the ladder. People come all over the country to live in this place because of what? The opportunities. I know sometimes we think about statistics like that and you say, well, Pastor, I'm without a job and all this kind of stuff. But let the facts say what they are. You know, people come because of opportunities. I've been trying to convince my family who are still in the hills of West Virginia to come south where there are greater opportunities. They can have shoes and know what it's like to have teeth. But listen to me. When you come into the Christian life walking with God, the sky is the limit with your opportunities. Whatever it is God wants to do in your life, He will do it because He has the power to do all things through you. Here's the last thing I want you to think about. Not only does divine power change our perspective from I can't to I can, it changes our opportunities from thinking they're limited to the fact that God can do all things. But divine power changes your ability. Divine power changes your ability. The last part of verse 13 says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want you to say that together. Ready? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now let's start. You're going to have this memorized before you go home. All right? Ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can, that's my perspective. Do all things, that's my opportunity. Through Christ, that is my ability. You see, He's not just saying that we can do all things. Because the focus just on the beginning of verse 13 about doing all things is to ignore the last part, and that's to simply presume upon God. If you just live tomorrow with the struggles or the greater works that God wants you to do, and you're just saying in your heart, trying to think about this verse, I can do all things, I can do all things, I can do all things, I can do all things. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. You said, Pastor, you're just contradicting what you preach. Because oftentimes in our lives, we focus too much on the I can do all things, and we forget about the through Christ which strengthens me. There's a difference. So it's not just about the power of positive thinking. I can, I can, I can, I can. We don't want to presume upon God, for there is no I and there is no can do all things without Christ. It's not going to happen. We're not going to achieve it. The true power does not lie in our perspective alone. The true power does not lie in our opportunities alone. It doesn't even lie in our own abilities. The true power lies through Christ. We're able to do all things. Why? Because we have the power of Christ. Because we have the divine presence of Christ in our lives. Paul said it like this in Galatians. It was our theme verse for 2012. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Now, I'm not doing it. Now, I'm not living. I'm not doing all that. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, this person you see on the outside, it's really not me living it. It's Christ living it in my body. His Holy Spirit is filling me. His power is giving me the ability to do what you see on the outside. And Paul had the right mentality. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "For without me ye can do nothing." For without me ye can do nothing. We can talk about buildings all day long, but without Him we cannot see them. We can both talk about two service, but without Him we can't do it. We can talk about school and ministries and all that without Him. Jesus wanted us to know very earnestly, without Him, without Him, without Him, we are nothing. We need Him every day of our life. You say, "Pastor, that's good preaching. I think every pastor needs Christ." I'm not talking about the pastors. I'm talking about you as a husband. You need God. For without Him, you cannot be the husband God wants you to be. Without Him, you cannot be the wife God wants you to be. Without Him, you cannot be the young person God wants you to be. We need Him to carry out every facet of our lives. Without Him, we are nothing. And so don't buy into the first part of the verse. "I can do all things. I can do all things." No, you can't. You can do all things through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, which gives you the strength, the ability. He gives me the ability. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power." He's talking about our own power. "But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." You're not going to do it in your own strength and your own might, but through the divine Spirit, the divine power of God. He will give you the ability to do the opportunities that you never dreamed you could carry out to the glory of God. The point I'm trying to say tonight is there is no success, there is no accomplishment, and there is no power unless Christ becomes your divine ability. It's not going to happen. And we need to stop relying on our flesh. I'm going to tell you what, those of us who are in full-time ministry who do this every day of our lives, it's easy to do ministry in the flesh. Easy. Easy. I know to some of you that comes from a shock. Hey, look, I've been preaching since I was 15 years old. I put a message together like that. I know how to outline. I know where to find illustrations. I know exactly the mannerisms, and I haven't quite got the wardrobe figured out because there's splits in my pants, but everything else I've got to figure it out. And we know how to do ministry. We know how to ministry. This is our life. We were born into this. This is everything about. And if we're not careful, because of that routine, because of that adaptiveness, we do it in the flesh. And that's when it fails. But when we realize it doesn't really matter what I know, how many degrees that I have, or how long that I've been doing this, I need your ability. That's when the opportunities begin to arise. That's when the sky is the limit. That's when God comes and says, "I'm going to do all things through you. I'm going to do the miraculous. I'm going to allow you to walk on water. I'm going to let the sun stand still." When we stop relying on our flesh and realize it's not our ability, but it's the ability of God through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He gives strength when you feel like there's no strength. We talked about the fleshly side of things, but think about it when we're really trying to do it in the Spirit. You say, "Pastor, there's some things God wants me to do. There's some greater works that are in front of me, but I just don't have the strength to do it." Can I remind you what Isaiah said? Chapter 40 and verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint." He giveth power to the faint. Are you listening? He giveth power to the faint. "And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength." He said, when you're struggling, when you're tarred, that's what my dad always says, tarred. When you're tarred, He gives you strength. He gives you the ability to serve Him when you feel like, "How in the world did I just do that? I don't know where that strength came from." He says, when you're tired, when you're faint, when you need it, He says, "I'm there to give you strength." He said, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, not faint." What He's saying is, when you reach the limit of your own resources, when you and I reach the limit of our own fleshly resources, there is an inner spiritual strength of Christ that becomes our ability to do all things. "Pastor, I don't know how I can continue in this environment that I'm living in and be what God wants me to do." There is an inward spiritual strength called the divine power of God that allow you to do what you need to do living in that environment. You say, "Pastor, I don't know if I can achieve this at my work. It's just too difficult." There's an inward spiritual strength. When you don't feel like it, when you don't know how you're going to do it, when you don't know how you're going to keep on keeping on, as we like to say, where God says, "I renew your strength through Christ." He strengthens us. He gives us the ability to move forward. You see, whatever it is you've been saying, "I can't do," it's time to recognize the divine power of God in your life. I can't join the choir. You can. And by the way, sometimes we need to get our want to fixed. Because a lot of times when we say I can, it's really not that we can't. It's that we don't want to. So we need to get the want to fixed. Pastor, I don't know how I can make it back on Wednesday night. Listen, if you had tickets to a ball game, you'd make it to that ball game. It's just all about what you want to do. And I'm not trying to be brash or harsh. It's just the facts. We do what we want to do. So we need to change our perspective and understanding that I can't to I can. We need to understand that His opportunities allows us not to be limited by just the small little achievements. But through the divine power of God, He's given you the opportunity to do anything. You see, I believe what God wants to do on Plaza Road Extension is something this city's never seen before. At least not in a biblical church. We can talk all day long about the can'ts and the limitations and how everybody in the South thinks they're saved and going to heaven and how there's churches on every corner and how are we going to compete? All this. Listen to me. With God, we can do anything. The opportunities are limitless. It's not just location. It's not just facilities. It's not just the ugliness of a preacher. I'm telling you, with God, the opportunities are limitless. And then we need to understand what our true ability is. For with Him, through Christ, don't forget that. Yes, you can do all things, but only through Christ, your ability, all things are possible. You see, He's saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Would you say that verse together one more time with me, and then we're going to pray. Ready? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There were some of you didn't say it, so we got to say it again. All right, ready? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The greater works? Oh, yeah. God's got some greater works. We need to believe it can happen. And then we need to rely on the divine power of God to accomplish it through us. And with bold faith and divine power, we can. Not a political campaign, but I'm just saying, we can do all things through Christ with strength.